Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
If you'd like to, you can join me in Psalm 23. We're over the last few weeks, we've been walking through Psalm 23. Actually, over the last 4 weeks, this is week 5. And if you're wondering how much longer are we going to do this for, 2 more weeks after this week, 7 weeks in total, we're walking through Psalm 23. And if you'd like to follow along with the digital sermon notes, you can scan the QR code that's available on the screen or go to hillsideairdrie.ca/sermon notes. But part of the reason why, part of the reason why we've been walking through this psalm this way is because for some of us, if we've been a part of church for a long time, there becomes passages of scripture that you can become really familiar with. That you can get ingrained with, where you learn them and you learn them and you hear them and you hear them and you know them. But one of the tendencies that can happen with that is that we become so familiar that it can almost lose its meaning because we're so familiar with it. Today, if you don't know, today is Super Bowl Sunday. And so later today, the Super Bowl will be on. And my anticipation is that somewhere between the beginning and the end, there will be some reference, a sign, something on somebody's face, something that will say something about John 3:16. And we, if you've been a part of the church, part of a church for a long time, you know John 3:16. You say, oh, I know that. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. And we know it, and we go, that's really wonderful. But we can lose the significance of John 3:16 because it's at a football game and we know it so well. But it contains in it the very gospel that makes this. God so loved the world, he sent his son, that you could be saved. It's powerful scripture. But we can become so familiar with it that somehow it actually begins to lose its power because we start to take it for granted. And so Psalm 23 can be that same kind of passage where we need to hear the words again, but not just quickly and not just rip through it as fast as we can because we all know it. But we want to reconnect with it and relearn and re-see what it is that David is trying to show us. And week by week, we've seen that David is showing us a picture of this shepherd. The psalm begins with, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then from there, David begins to speak about what he has experienced because the Lord is his shepherd, who this shepherd is to him, and what it means to him to have a shepherd like that, through his story, through experience, and through the names that God's people have held on to for generations. If you've been with us for the whole series, you know the path we've been walking. We've talked about provision. We've talked about rest. We've talked about guidance. And last week, we talked about God's presence in the darkest moments of our lives, in the darkest valleys. And if you haven't been with us for the whole series, if you've been for parts, or if this is your first part of this series, what we need to see is that Psalm 23 isn't just a collection of inspirational lines. It's not just language that sounds nice. It's not just beautiful images and pictures. For David, this is his testimony. It's the voice of someone who's walked with God long enough to trust him and to learn to find God in every season of life, the good, the bad, and everywhere in between. And today, David gives us sort of the answer to last week. That last week we saw David say that even when I walk through the darkest valleys, I don't have to be afraid because God's with me. And we rested in that. We stopped and we said, God's presence is with us, so we don't have to be afraid. But this week, David actually kind of speaks to the why. That we've acknowledged we don't need to be afraid, but why? What does God's presence mean in these moments when everything seems to be going wrong, when we're at the worst places? Why is God's presence so helpful? And today, David answers that. In fact, he says, this is what God's presence in the darkest, most difficult moments looks like. This is where you can find God. This is how you can see God. In verse 4, David says this. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Then he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. These can be a bit confusing for us. They become very metaphorical for us because they are metaphors, but also because rods and staffs don't immediately sound like a good thing. None of us as a kid were ever like, when it was like, oh, mom has gone to go get the staff or go get the rod, it wasn't because we were good. In my house, when it was, you're going to get the wooden spoon, it wasn't because I had been so good. It was because they were, you need some correction, son. That rods and staffs, they don't sound like comforting images. They don't sound like, oh, thank God, God's got his staff. He's got his rod. That'll be good. And a table surrounded by enemies doesn't sound particularly wonderful either. It doesn't sound particularly like a place we want to be. But yet David says that somehow this is where comfort is found, which shows us that God's care, that sometimes it looks like strength, sometimes it looks like provision, sometimes it looks like a presence that is available. And a presence that holds firm, a presence that stays even when opposition is close, but it doesn't always look like a care that removes the threat. That sometimes God's care isn't found in, and then everything was suddenly okay. Sometimes God's care and his presence looks like God in the midst of everything not being okay. David says, your rod and your staff. For David, these were intentional symbols as he was a shepherd, and so he understood why they were used, what they meant. A shepherd's rod was used for protection. It was a solid, reliable tool used to drive away predators. And it represented the shepherd's strength and readiness to act when danger was close. That his rod was there in case enemies showed up. And so his rod was to keep the sheep safe. His staff, on the other hand, was used to keep the sheep safe, not from predators, but from themselves. It was there to keep the sheep from wandering, to pull them back from danger, to steady them when the ground was uneven. But together, what the rod and the staff show us is they represent the shepherd's intentional preparation for care. That the shepherd gets his rod and his staff before it's necessary. The shepherd brings his rod and his staff because he knows that he might need them. That he doesn't wait for a predator to show up and then say, I better go get a rod. I better go. But instead, he's intentionally prepared for what might come. that the shepherd is intentionally prepared to care. Not a distant concern, not passive watching, but intentional. Active protection, active guidance, active pressure. That when David says your rod and your staff, he's saying your preparation, that you're not caught off guard, that you are ready for whatever's going to happen. That brings me comfort. David says they comfort him. And this again shows us something that we need to understand about how this is, what the God's care for us looks like. Because David's comfort doesn't come from the absence of threat. He doesn't say, I'm comforted because there's nothing bad ever going to happen to me. He's not living from a naive place that says, I'm comforted because the Lord is my shepherd, so nothing will ever happen that's bad. He says, I'm comforted because I know I have a shepherd that's prepared. I know I have a shepherd that's been intentional. I know that I have a shepherd who loves me so that when I walk through life and I'm caught off guard, I'm comforted because I have a shepherd who wasn't. The comfort isn't that the sheep are strong, that the sheep are ready, that the sheep are prepared, that the sheep can ward off any danger. The comfort is that the shepherd can, that the shepherd is. And then David adds something that deepens this picture even more, even if it feels very abstract to us. David says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And what we need to see and understand and take into ourselves with that is that this isn't an escape image. He doesn't say, you prepare a table before me after you've gotten rid of all my enemies. In fact, when we read it, it says, you prepare a table for me. Where are the enemies? Right there, in the very presence of the enemy, you prepare a table before me. David doesn't say you make the enemies disappear. It's not an escape image. It's a confidence image. He says the table is set while they're still here, which tells us that God isn't always in the business of just getting rid of all the opposition. It shows us that the shepherd doesn't panic because enemies are present. The shepherd isn't just responding, oh no! But we see that the shepherd provides, the shepherd's prepared, the shepherd sustains. And when David puts all of these images together, the rod, the staff, the table, he's showing us something that we need to understand about the shepherd. That as we're walking through the darkest valleys, as we're walking through the most difficult moments, what we get a picture of is that the shepherd has all the authority in the situation. Not the valleys we find ourselves in, not the enemies that surround us, that the shepherd has all of the authority. That the shepherd is not dictated to, the shepherd dictates. Comfort in Psalm 23 doesn't come from softness. It doesn't come from making everything perfect all the time. It comes from strength. It comes from our ability to look at our shepherd and see a shepherd who is prepared, a shepherd who has been intentionally preparing for this moment. And it comes from looking at a shepherd who's not afraid, who's not responsive, who's not intimidated. It comes from looking at a shepherd who is ready, who is prepared, who is steady, who is not afraid, who stands confident. A shepherd who has all the authority, not the threats. The rod and the staff tell us that the shepherd is active and intentional and prepared, not unaware, not passive. He is engaged. And the table tells us that the shepherd's not just reactive. He doesn't just react. He remains composed. He provides and he sustains life even when opposition is present. And that begins to shape how we can understand God's care in our lives. How we can understand what it looks like to walk through the darkest valleys and the darkest seasons of life. Because we see that God's presence, it's not fragile. His peace is, it's not easily disrupted. It's not just barely there as long as there's nothing standing against it. His provision is not dependent on ideal circumstances. But instead, what we see is that the shepherd's authority is greater than the threats. That God's care for us isn't dependent on what's going on in our lives at that moment. Instead, God's care for us is stronger than whatever's going on in our lives in that moment. And because of that, David says that he finds comfort. That he finds comfort in the valley. That as he's walking through the darkest valley, he doesn't need to fear because God is with him. And in fact, not only does he not need to fear, but somehow, some way, in the middle of the darkest valley he can imagine, he finds comfort. David is showing us a God whose comfort is not just removing what's going on, but it's from being decisively present within it. That God's presence is not just kind of there. But it says that God is actively preparing a table before you in the presence of your enemy, that he is doing his will, whatever else is going on around. And as we have seen through this series, what David is describing here, it's not unique language to Psalm 23. We hear the same way about speaking about God in other places in Scripture, especially in moments of pressure and threat. And previously in this series, and today again, we're going to turn to the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to find a passage in the book of Jeremiah where we see God being spoke about like this. For if you don't know who Jeremiah is an Old Testament prophet. And he has been charged, he has been given a very difficult task from God. God has called Jeremiah to preach a message to his people. And it's a hard message. In fact, Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet because his message is heavy and it's hard. He's called to bring a message to God's people that says, you're not living right. You're not doing right. You're not following God. You've left God. And because of that, you're going to have to live in the consequences of what that life looks like. And Jeremiah, he preaches for somewhere between 30 and 40 years. He delivers messages to God's people for 3 to 4 decades. And according to the book of Jeremiah, do you know how many people listened to him? 30 to 40 years of preaching. One person. One person listened to his message. For 30 to 40 years, he brings this message to the people that he's trying to tell them, you need to change where you're going or bad things are going to come. And one person listens. The nation is unraveling. Judgment is coming. And the future doesn't just feel uncertain. It feels lost. But in the middle of this, Jeremiah has a moment where he comes to God, where he speaks to God, where in the middle of this heartbreak and the middle of this difficult calling that has been put on his life, he speaks to God directly, and he says this in Jeremiah chapter 19, or chapter 16, verse 19. He says, "Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in times of distress." We're going to focus on that word refuge because it's the same idea that David is drawing on in Psalm 23. In Hebrew, it means, or it comes from a word that means a place of strength, a fortified shelter, a stronghold that holds firm when danger is close. The image is not just something that helps you, but something that you can hide inside. That it's not just something that supports you and makes you stronger. It's something that's stronger than you that you can go and retreat inside. And from this word, God came to be known as Jehovah Mahoz. Maoz, that's it. Jehovah Maoz. Now, over the course of this series, I'm inviting you to turn to your neighbor and say the name. So turn to your neighbor and say, Jehovah Maoz. But you have to give it the strong O. That's why I had to pause in my head, because it's Jehovah Maoz. Like, there's an extra emphasis, an added kick on the O. Jehovah Maoz. That means the Lord, my strength. It means the Lord, my refuge. The Lord, my stronghold. But these kinds of names, God doesn't get this name. We don't call him this name when it's coming from a place of comfort, coming from a place of ease, of the simplicity, of the quiet, joyful moments in life. We don't look for a stronghold when we don't need one. This is a name that emerges from conflict. It's a name that emerges from the dark, heavy times in life. The times when you need a place to retreat to, you need a place to retreat inside of, we find a stronghold. We find Maoz. The shepherd that David trusts is the refuge that Jeremiah names. A God who doesn't step back when opposition appears. A God, not a God or a shepherd who's afraid of the enemies. A shepherd that's afraid of what's going to take place. A shepherd that's unsure. A shepherd that's worried. But instead, we see a shepherd who becomes a place to stand. A shepherd who comes as a source of protection. When David says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me," he's trusting a shepherd who is strong enough, who is prepared enough, who is ready enough to protect. And when he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies," he's trusting a God who is secure enough to be able to provide without fear. He's trusting a God that is confident enough to be able to do exactly what he means to do, to provide, to care, to love you exactly how he wants to, even when everything feels like it's going wrong. Jehovah Maoz is not the same God, or is not the God who removes every threat. He's the God who becomes our refuge, even when life's threats are real. Remember, David said, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." The enemies aren't gone. They're real. But the greatest reality, the strongest reality in that moment is not the enemies. It's not the things in life that we wish weren't there. Even though they can feel heavy and they can feel strong and they can feel weighty, the greatest reality, the strongest reality is not the enemies. It's the God who stands with us. So what does this mean for us? What do we do with it? How do we take this away? How do we work with this in our lives? Now, when David talks about enemies, he's talking about enemies in a very literal sense. He has lived his life from a place where there was a nation, there was a people, there was an army chasing him and trying to kill him. That was part of the story of his life, was he lived a good chunk of his life on the run because there was an army looking to kill him. Now, my hope for you is that that's never part of your story. That you don't have armies chasing after you. That you are not a wanted fugitive on the run. That you are not being chased down and having to hide in caves and ended up here somehow. That's not my hope for your life. But that's not just what David is speaking about here either. When he talks about armies, most of us don't think of enemies or battle lines. Most of us, hopefully, probably can't even think of a real person. But as I talk about enemies, you don't think of yourself, oh, Frank from work, he's my enemy, I hate that guy. That it's not about necessarily an enemy, but we do know what it feels like to live with opposition. We do know what it feels like in our lives to live with pressure, to live with conflict, to live with those things in life that we wish weren't there, but they just don't seem to go away. Sometimes the enemy can look like fear or anxiety or guilt. Or shame, or a situation that just keeps pressing and it won't let up. Sometimes it looks like a relationship marked with tension. A workplace where you feel stifled or frustrated or unseen. A season where even stability doesn't feel even. That you live your life and you're living your life from a place where you would say, I don't have an enemy, but I sure know what it feels like to have life crashing down on me. I sure know what it feels like for everything to not feel the way it should. I sure know what it feels like to be standing somewhere and have no idea where I am. I sure know what it feels like to be walking through a dark valley. And in these moments, what we often want to do most, what our instinct is to ask God to make it stop. God, just make it stop. Just make it go away. I don't want this anymore. To ask God to remove the pressure, to eliminate the threats, to clear the space. And let me be clear, pray that. That is okay to pray. That is not bad to pray. Pray, God, save me from this. But Psalm 23 gives us a reminder of something that on one hand is both harder. It's hard. It's difficult. It doesn't feel like it should be the right answer. It can be hard, but my friends, it's also stronger. He offers us something that can feel harder, but it's actually stronger. God doesn't promise that every enemy will disappear. God's promise in our lives is not, if you pray to me, then I will eliminate every opposition that you face in life. And then if you pray and if you come to me, then I will remove everything that's going on in your life that's difficult or hard, and you will just walk through life without a care in the world. That's not the promise that God makes. He does not promise to remove every enemy. Instead, he promises that his presence will be greater than every enemy. He doesn't promise to remove them, but he promises that he is greater, that his presence will be greater than every enemy. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies means that the enemy doesn't get to set the scene. The enemy doesn't get to determine what's going on. That the plans and the purposes of the enemy don't thwart what God wants to do. God says the enemy is here for a battle, and I'm going to set a table for you. Fear doesn't get to define the space. Worry, anxiety, pressure, sadness, grief, they don't get to just define the space. God does. The table is a picture of provision, of nourishment, of enough. And God prepares it not after the danger has passed, not once we've made it to the other side of the valley, here's your reward. In the middle of the enemy's presence, in the middle of the valley, God prepares a table for us. It means that the opposition can still remain, but we don't have to panic. We don't have to live in fear. It means we can stand. We can breathe. We can sit down and enjoy a fancy dinner right in the middle of it. Because when I envision God preparing a table for me, I don't envision boiled hot dogs. I don't envision some sort of thrown together quick little thing, I'll throw something in the microwave and it'll be fine kind of dinner. But when I imagine the all-powerful, all-knowing God who spoke the universe into creation, and when he looks at his children and he understands that his children need him, he spares no expense. So he's not putting together some kind of boiled hot dogs and no-name brand potato chips and says, there, be fine. It's prime rib. It's top shelf, the best stuff. That when God prepares a table before you, he's not preparing something to just allow you to scrape by. When God prepares a table for his children, when his children need him, God says, I will prepare a table like you've never seen. And we can receive what God is providing: strength, clarity, endurance, grace. And maybe this week, if this is where you're living from, if this is where you find yourself, maybe the invitation is not to just simply ask God to make everything easier, but to maybe pray something like this: God, be my refuge here. Help me to trust that you are stronger than what is pushing against me. Amen. Because the promise of Psalm 23 isn't that we're never going to face any opposition. David's not that naive. And my friends, we need to not be that naive. The promise isn't you'll never face anything bad. The promise is that you will never face any opposition. You will never go through anything in your life without a shepherd who is strong enough and secure enough to walk with you through it. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The picture David gives us, it's not just of escape. It's not that somehow God magically transports us out of the situation and then everything is fine. It's not a picture of escape. It's one of strength, of a God who is standing firm, of a shepherd who is holding his ground, of a refuge that will not retreat, no matter how much life presses in. Jehovah Ma'oz, the Lord our refuge. And as we continue to live with Psalm 23, reading it again and again and again, and we've still got cards available if you want to bring Psalm 23 home and read it each and every day. We've got cards available at the front and the back. Help yourself to them. As we continue to read Psalm 23 again and again and again, letting its words and its images and its pictures and its truth sink their way into us. My hope for us is that in moments when we face pressure, when we face uncertainty, when life feels all wrong, that when the opposition doesn't disappear, that when fear still remains close, that we can remember, that we can hold on to, that we can grab onto, that we can say, if nothing else, the shepherd is strong enough for this. Not I'm strong enough for this, because that may not be true, and it doesn't need to be true. Your testimony may not be, I can handle this. Your testimony may be, I cannot. But the shepherd is strong enough for this. I can trust him. Psalm 23 doesn't promise us a life without enemies. It promises us a God who prepares, a God who provides, a God who becomes our refuge exactly when we need him most. And as we keep walking this psalm together, may we learn to say, not with bravado, not with arrogance, not with denial, and not with pretending somehow everything is just okay, but with a growing, firm trust, may we be able to say together, the Lord is my refuge. I am not unprotected. I am not facing this alone. But instead, we could see that the table is set. And that tells us everything we need to know about the shepherd who walks with us. And so, three takeaways for this morning. First, God's comfort is not fragile. It's strong and it's steady. David finds comfort not because the danger is gone, but because the shepherd is prepared. The rod and the staff, the set table, it all shows a God whose authority is greater than a threat. Our safety does not come from strength within us, but from the strength of the one who invites us to stand with him. Second, God doesn't retreat when opposition comes. Instead, he provides within it. The table is prepared, even though the enemies are present. God doesn't wait for perfect conditions to care for his people. His provision, his peace, and his sustaining grace are available even when pressure, conflict, or fear is close. And lastly, Jehovah Ma'oz is the refuge we lean on when the pressure will not go away. God reveals himself as a refuge, not in seasons of ease, but in moments of real threat. He doesn't promise to remove every enemy, but he promises to be a place to stand no matter how present the enemy is. Trusting him believes believing that his presence is greater than what presses against us. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that you're not naive to our stories. You're not naive to the things that we go through. That you're not naive in understanding that this life can be difficult. And so, God, I thank you that as we walk through life and as we walk through seasons of difficulty and seasons of challenge, seasons where things are hard, God, I thank you that we can turn to your word and discover that you speak right to those moments, right to those situations, right to us when we need to hear from you. And so, God, I thank you that today, God, you've spoken into our most difficult moments, our hardest moments, the moments that we wish everything was different, the moments where we wish I was never here, the moments where we feel the enemy closing in, surrounding, the moments where we look around and all we can see, all we can experience, all we can find is pressure and opposition. God, I thank you that today you're speaking to us in those moments. And God, I thank you that no matter how unprepared we feel, No matter how unsure we feel, no matter how anxious we feel, no matter how difficult it feels, no matter how heavy and weighty it feels, God, I thank you that you are prepared. God, that you are intentional about your care for each one of us. That you don't just care for us reactively, but that you are purposeful in your care in knowing exactly what we need and when we need it. And God, I thank you that if you are for us, then what can stand against us? God, I thank you that as the enemy closes in, as the enemies believe that their plan is going to be successful, God, I thank you that in that moment, you show your power by setting a table for us. And so, God, I pray for each one here today that's living in between those two moments, that's living in a moment where they feel the pressure, the opposition, the enemies, that they feel life closing in around them, and it feels darker and darker and feels heavier and heavier. God, I pray that in this moment, God, that they would see a table set before them, that they would find your presence, a presence that's not compromised by the enemy, a presence that's not even challenged by the enemy, but a presence that's so strong, secure, and confident that it is able to do all that it has for us despite the presence of the enemy. God, I thank you that your word will tell us that we are more than conquerors through you. And so, God, I pray for each one here. God, would you show up in their lives in a mighty and victorious way, that they would be able to walk through to the end of this valley comforted and confident because they know the shepherd is with them. God, I thank you that in our hardest, most difficult moments, God, your word will tell us that you are an ever-present help in times of trouble. And so, God, I pray that you would show up in our lives today in powerful, meaningful ways as God, our refuge. God, thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go,